couple of months now, we've been in the midst of a series called Made for More. We've been trying to get to the bottom of, get to the middle of, to discern, to wrestle to the ground, this whole notion of calling. And more specifically, your personal calling. And as we come to the end of this series, and this and next week we wrap it up and talk about what comes next, this week we want to deal with kind of, okay, so how do I get there? And I want you to know it's not as deep as you may think it is. In fact, I believe that many of us are already doing some of these things. So some of this will sound not new, but I pray that it is a reinforcement in all of our lives. But as is our custom, I want to spend just a few moments for those who may not have been here last week to just kind of tie last week in with this week. So last week, what we talked about was the fact that God has a destiny for each of us, a plan perfectly fit for us as his masterpiece. And if you recall, last week we were talking about how do I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, how do I find and live in that sweet spot, that space that God has created just for me. And so we started talking about what it was, what is that sweet spot. And we said the sweet spot is the alignment of our unique design, our be, our unique purpose, our do, and our unique position, our go. The second thing we said was that there is joy and harmony in the sweet spot because all parts are aligned. I don't know about you, but that's kind of where I look to live my life. Let me say it again. It's where I look to live my life. I'm not there. And I'm not there all the time is probably a better way to say that. But there are some things that I do, and there are some spaces that I inhabit. There are certain seasons or places I may go. And I know I'm not the only one. And you get there and you find yourself saying, yo, I don't know what it is about this, but I am hitting this on all cylinders right here. Where everything just seems to come together and run smoothly. You still know it's running. You still know it's work, but it works smoothly. That's the sweet spot. And then we talked about the fact that there is joy, and we talked about, lastly, that by multiplying the input, the sweet spot produces greater output, resulting in fruitfulness. You'll remember that last week, if you were here, the illustration I used was a golf club. And I said that on the face of every golf club is a sweet spot. And when you hit that ball right there on the sweet spot, it goes further than if you hit it anyplace else. Doesn't matter how you are swinging. If your swing just happens to, even by happenstance, put you right there in the sweet spot, that's the one thing that'll make you spend $65 in greens fees coming back the next week. Last week, we talked about the fact that we have these three things that are going on in our lives at the same time. We have our be, we have our do, and we have our go. We know that part of that for each of us is general. It's just who I am in Jesus Christ. And part of that is also unique. It's who I am. There is not another me. Y'all, the one thing I want to hammer into all of us by the time we are done is that there is no part of you as an individual that is a mistake in the eyes of God. That when God created you one leg longer than the other, he did that and said, it is good. and has the expectation that you will, in every unique way that you have been created, that you will go and do what God has encouraged you to do. I wanted to draw that because we're going to come back to that in a moment. But I want to go to this verse. I got quite a few, but I want to go to this one because this is one that we've been dealing with since the beginning, and it is our foundation. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. One verse. For we are created His workmanship, or we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I hope you're not tired of that yet, because that verse for us speaks volumes. We keep talking about who I am created to be, what I am created to do, and where I am created to go. And whenever we look at this verse, I want you to be able to look at this verse and understand that in this verse, God is giving me my design as a believer. God is giving me my mission, my purpose as a believer. God is giving me my position where I am to do what I am charged to do as a believer. Look at it. Go to the next slide, the very next one. For we are His workmanship. Highlighted. For we are His workmanship. Whenever somebody asks you who you are, what are you designed to be? I am God's workmanship. Let me make it real plain for you. I am a disciple. Period. That verse tells me what I'm supposed to be. I am the workmanship of God. So what am I supposed to do? It gives you that too. If you look at the next one, it says, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. What am I supposed to do? The good works that Jesus Christ set out beforehand. What is that in the life of a disciple? If you've been here more than twice, you already know we are to become disciples who make disciples. See, the good work of Jesus Christ is literally that we would go and do what He did with us. That we would give of ourselves, that others would come out of the darkness that they are in and walk in the light of the new life that they have been granted because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so generally, I know that I am created in the image and likeness of God to go or to represent God that others might know Him. The last one, look at this, that we should walk in them. B, I am God's workmanship. Do, created for good works. B, that I would walk in them. That's it. I have a slide that says it another way. I'm not even going to deal with that on the screen. I'm going to say it to you so that you hear me. I am to become a disciple who makes disciples where I am. Why do we make church so deep? When literally all God is asking of me is that I would recognize that I am made in His image and likeness, that I am like Him. Let me go on and get to what it is I want to get to this morning so that we can begin to deal with what I'm already talking about. Here's my opening statement. Living out our personal calling is a journey that each of us must determine to take. We gonna figure this thing out, and let me say that it is a journey and not a destination. That we figure this thing out as we go. Remember last week I said what we're looking for is this place right here where my be, my do, and my go all converge. When I understand my design, when I understand my purpose, and when I understand my position, and I have them all right here where they converge, that is my sweet spot. But I can still be in the will of God if I know my design and I'm just not in the sweet spot. I can still be in the will of God if I know my position, but I just haven't found the sweet spot. I can still be in the will of God if I know who I am created to be, and I just haven't found the sweet spot yet. Let me stop for a moment. We had a real good conversation on Wednesday, and I came back here on Sunday to make sure I told you this is a journey and not a destination. Because if we're not careful, we'll do all of this, and some folk will walk out of here wondering, well, God, am I in your will if I don't know what my sweet spot is? You can absolutely be in his will. But what God wants for us is that we're always moving toward living, remember what we said last week, where I can be most effective. God doesn't just want the good you. God wants the great you. God doesn't want the I'm hitting on all cylinders on Wednesday after 5 p.m. you. God wants that you all the time. But wait, Pastor, God has to understand that every now and again, I can't be on all the time. He does understand that. That's why he says we live with him in us, moving through us. Okay. First point, and I'm almost halfway done. We have to accept, embrace, and live out our general calling. What's our general calling? First, to become a disciple who makes disciples where we are. None of this happens unless we understand those three things. Let me give it to you plain. And this is point number two. There's a relationship between our general calling and our personal calling. All right? So God says that I am a disciple. Everybody who's a believer understands, I am a disciple. I said this last week and the week before. I'm going to say it here again for threefold repetition. That is the most important part to God. When I talk about understanding the relationship between these two callings, we have to understand that the life God calls me to live personally literally flows out of the call or the life I'm living with God internally or generally. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, you can't make a disciple until you become a disciple. And too often, we are running too quickly to the do before we get the become right. You'll remember, it has to be 3 weeks, if not 4 weeks, if not last month, as we were in this sermon series, and I talked about the fact that what God expects and intends is that we are living out of the overflow of his presence in our lives. Here's how it looks. I have this general be to be a disciple that begins with God filling me. I want the presence of God in me. I want the Holy Spirit dictating every move that I make in my life. I want such an unbroken fellowship and communion with God that I am indistinguishable from his presence. What God calls me to as a believer, stop, not a pastor, as a believer, stop, not a preacher, as a believer, stop, not a daddy or a husband. What God calls me to as his creation, I am his workmanship. What God calls me to is to make sure that the thing that is primary, that is paramount for me in my life is that God, I not only want to be with you, but I want you in me, dwelling on the inside and working through me. And that's the thing I'm working towards. Why? Because unless and until I am absolutely sold out on being a disciple, trying to figure out what my unique gifts are, my unique talents and skills, becomes a secular exercise that you can find in any book in the self-help section of any bookstore. But that's not what God calls us to. Remember, Ephesians 2:10 says, I am his masterpiece. That when God created me, yeah, God had some unique stuff, but the first thing that God did was God created me in his image, and he wants me to know that. Point one was I have to accept and embrace my general calling, that I am a child of God. And so he wants me working on that, because once I work on that, I understand that everything else, me figuring out how best God can use these gifts and skills that God has given me, whether I take Myers-Briggs or DISC or Strength Finders, whatever I do, or the horoscope, horror scope, H-O-R-R-O-R, right? None of that matters unless I understand that God created me and wants to be with me. So now, watch this. I know who I am. I spoke to a group of young folk on Friday. Y'all know what I talked about? Yeah, I talked about acorns. Folk gonna get tired of acorns. I'm not. I'll just go talk to somebody else about acorns. That's all. But one of the things I said to them was I haven't always lived out what I just said to you. Now, I didn't say this to them because it wasn't that context. But there was a time in my life where I didn't like the me that I am. I didn't like the way certain aspects of my anatomy looked. I didn't necessarily even like the name that my parents gave me. And I wrestled for a significant portion of my childhood, dreaming about the day that I could change both of the things I didn't like about myself. And I had to share with them, and I shared it with them differently than I'm sharing it with you, but this is Sunday morning, that wasn't. It wasn't until I came to fully understand God did this. And God wants to be with me, hear me, just like I am. And God made me look the way I look and talk the way I talk and have the affinities that I have. God did all of this, and I'm not talking about sin. Help me. That all of a sudden, all the things that I wanted to change, I began to embrace. What am I saying to you? What I'm saying to you is there is a relationship between the two axes or the two endpoints on this axis, right? And so if I want to fully find my sweet spot of who I am created to be, I have to first embrace and acknowledge the relationship between God making me and wanting to be with me, because unless and until I can embrace the fact that I am made in the image and likeness of God, it's not going to help me at all. Why? Because I'm always going to find something about myself, or even worse, something about somebody else that I would rather have than what God made me. Or you talk about your purpose. My purpose is to make disciples, generally. How many ways are there to make disciples? How many people are there? Now, there's some things that are common to all of them. You make disciples in relationship. But since I'm not you, I'm not going to do it the way you do it. But until I embrace and accept that God made me, God is in me, God loves me, God wants to use me, I am God's workmanship, and God made me unique. So this purpose God gave me, God is going to do and make the unique me fit what God wants me to do. I gotta get comfortable with that. See, this is why churches can spend forever talking about stuff, and if they miss putting it together like this, this is Griffin talking to you, we're not really helping what we're supposed to be doing. We ought to be praying and fasting. We ought to be together in community. But all of that is so that God can get out of me what he put in me, because God only gave us all one purpose, that we go make disciples. Glad I said it that way, because we need to deal with this last one. Go. The problem that I think, this is Meredith Griffin, the problem that I think many of us have when we start talking about go is that as we get older, go typically means leave, right? When you think about go, you typically think about getting up, putting some clothes on, getting in the car, and going. So when we hear God say something like, go make disciples, our first notion is missionary. That I need to leave my current context and go find the context that God is sending me to. And all of a sudden, as I thought about that, I thought about children. Christ uses children in his stories and in his ministry quite often. Let me show you what I mean. Have you ever been with a little kid who had something like a motorized toy that didn't work? And they're sitting there frustrated with it, and it didn't work. And they bring it to you, and they say, it won't go. Make it go. You never interpret that they want you to take that toy outside and launch it to another destination. Right? Tell the truth. When the child says that, the first thing that you think of is what they're saying to me is they want me to make this do what it's designed to do. They want this thing to engage the purpose that I know it's supposed to have, and right now, it's not doing it. So let me help you reframe go. Go absolutely can mean that God is telling you to sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and then come follow me. Go can absolutely mean God is telling you that you need to get ready because he's sending you to some faraway place as a missionary, that he's giving you another context. But as you heard me talk in the context of a baby dedication earlier in this service, go can mean who is it right now in your household that you need to be living out who God made you to be, the purpose he gave you to do. Remember, where you are. Where am I right now? That's what God most wants me to do. God may, and here's the thing we came up with this week. Context changes. How many of you are doing the same thing? If you are over 35, how many of you are over 35 doing the same thing you were doing when you were 25? Raise your hand. Amen. Praise God. One hand went up. How many of you are doing the second thing since you were 25? Amen. One more hand went up. How many of you are in your third, fourth, or fifth context since you were 25? Right? Context changes. So we can't, what God calls us to be is open that, please put Ephesians 2:10 back on the screen. God wants us to be open to the process and journey that he has us on. And there are some aspects of the journey that are important for us to grasp no matter where we are. Wherever I am right now, I have to recognize and embrace that God has called me right where I am right now to make sure that my relationship with him is tight enough that I can live that relationship out loud in front of anybody else. I am a disciple in all of my uniqueness. Love me or hate me, short, tall, fat, small, does not matter. I belong to God, and trust me, he's in here. And I'm gonna love you because he's in here, no matter where I am. And when it changes, that'll change, but I'm gonna be his workmanship, and I got good works. I'm here for a purpose. I don't know what it is. Let me stop for a minute, just a short minute, and say this. Some have heard me say this before, others have not, and I'm very serious when I say it, that our purpose is not to assault people with the Bible. If I hit you with this, it is assault. That's not who we're called to be. He never said, go and preach verses at people. He said, go and make disciples. Why? Because I've made you disciples. So go and be who I called you to be. Now hear me, teaching is an aspect of that. But loving and faithful community is a greater aspect of that. If you don't believe me, read Acts chapter 2. And I do that wherever I am. Last point. I'd have made a hodgepodge of this morning, but we're about to bring it together. Last point. The discovery of your personal calling is more journey than destination. So there's some tools that help you in your discovery. Primary tool of your discovery, I would say, is this. A grand encouragement. If you want to know what it is to be a disciple, how am I designed? Where's a good place to look? For me, I would say that if I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then the life I ought to look at would be the life of Jesus. And so maybe it would be a good idea for me to just take this book and go to one of the four gospels and just read the gospel. Now, when I tell people to read something, I typically tell you to read it more than once. And the first time I tell you to read it, I just tell you to just read it. Don't read it to study it. Read it to read it. You just want to read it. It's a story. Read it like the narrative that it is and enjoy it. If you need to read it out loud, read it out loud. If you need to act out the voices, act out the voices. Whatever works for you, but read it. And when you go back and read it again, the second time you go through it, reading it, read it paying attention to the things that Jesus does, the things that are said about Jesus, the places that Jesus goes, the people that Jesus interacts with, and then just begin to jot down those things that stick out to you. And then I tell you to go back and read it again just to make sure nothing else jumps off the page, but then begin to look at that list of things that you wrote down about who Jesus is and the things that people said about Jesus and the things that made Jesus who we know him to be. And I want you to begin to categorize those things, distill them down into the themes that make you say, ah, that's Jesus being a disciple. And then look at that list and ask yourself, what of those things are good for me to have in my life? Jesus prayed. Jesus was in relationship with folk. Jesus cared about people. Jesus loved and obeyed his Father, right? What are those things? Do that. The Bible is a great resource in helping me discover what it means as I go from this general thing of being a disciple to what that looks like. Because by the time I do that, I get to look at myself and say, man, I got that. You know what? And I really, that's part of me. This not so much, but that right there, that is in me hard. And that becomes primary. Sometimes we go and we do these other things and we let them tell us who we are. I am an INFJ or I am a DC kind of mix on the DISC profile, or I took Strength Finders and these are my top five, and I've done all of them. but I got to make sure that I'm here and then there. What's the second? The second help is my life. Past, present, and my vision for the future. What has God said to me about who he desires me to be? But I get to look back at the one of the most amazing, and I'm not the only one, so watch this. Have you ever looked at your life now? And especially if you know you're flowing in your sweet spot, and you look back at your life and you say, man, I can see that I was headed here, there. Man, I can see when I was a kid, I was the kid that everybody used to always come and tell all their issues to. I want to hear your stuff. I was the one that everybody always wanted to ask the questions to. Man, I can see how, Lord, I never imagined then that you were giving me a glimpse of how you uniquely created me. That I've always loved reading and learning. Lord, I never imagined that you were actually at 7 or 10 years old showing me what I would be doing to glorify you in my purpose for the rest of my life. So when you want to talk about the two places I encourage you to go, as you're already doing the stuff like praying and fasting and studying and thinking on the things of God or meditating, because I need to be a disciple before I start looking at what a disciple looks like in my unique context, get in the Word. Start writing stuff down. Don't just read it. Read it and then reread it and write some stuff down. What do you see about disciples? And which of those things are in your life and which are missing? But then there are things that can help you as you discern. Remember, this is a journey, not a destination. And none of us get there by ourselves. The first one is God. We have got to hone our relationship with God. I would venture to say that there's not a person who's hearing my voice and I'm hearing my own voice who cannot enhance our prayer life. And I'm not talking about prayer as monologue, like I sit on Santa's lap and tell him what I want. I'm talking about prayer as both speaking and listening. There's not one of us here who could not appreciate a bit more of the spiritual disciplines being lived out in our lives on a daily basis to hone and increase our relationship with God. If I want to know, watch this. Anybody here bought a new car ever in your life? And by new, I mean you had never driven it before. Amen. Amen. How many of you, when you buy a new car, the first thing you do is open up the manual and read the manual? Tell the truth. Yep. We got one person who raised their hand. You know when we typically open up the manual? I'm going to close this book right here. Isn't that funny, though? If I want to know what's in my car, you ever had the car for a minute and then you find something out, you're like, Lord, I didn't even know it did that. Right? Because you ain't read the book. God, if I want to know what's in me, if I want to know how I'm designed, who better to go to than the one who said, I am his workmanship? Who better to go to than the potter to say, what is this and why is it here? We start rolling through stuff. Now, I'm only saying it because I've done it. You like, Lord? I've been wondering why that was there. And it's usually you getting somebody else's car that's got the same car you got, and they do something, and you don't say nothing. You just say, oh, Lord, I ain't even know. And then you get back in your car, and your wife is in the car with you, and you hit that button. She's like, oh, that's nice. I'm like, yeah, yeah, you know it's a little something it does. Why ain't you never? Well, you never asked me if you'd asked me. Right? You act like you knew it all the time. Go to God. But then we have to look at ourselves also, right? We have to make sure that we are, and this goes back to when we were talking about ACORN, that we are literally always open to assessment, or that if we're at the reflection stage, that we're reassessing. Because it's not, I can't ever expect or look at myself as though I have arrived. Because God is still processing me. So I need to be open enough to continue to look around, to look at me, to wonder what may have changed. I am not at 53 what I was at 23. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I won't be at 83 what I am at 53. So I need to make sure, as we all do, that I am constantly assessing and evaluating. And here's something that's important about that. Community. Who are the people who are around you in your life who can actually speak to you? One last thing, and then I'm done. When we talk about community and why community is important, one of the things that always highlights this for me very well is something called the Johari window. Amen. Somebody else, Johari fan in the house. Praise the Lord, right? And so the Johari window talks about four quadrants. And in those four quadrants of the Johari window, those are the things that are known to self, things that are not known to self, things that are known to others, and things that are not known to others. All right? So things that are known to self, that's stuff I know about myself. I am aware of these things about myself. Stuff that are known to others, that's stuff that other people know about me, right? It's stuff that you know. You know me, you know this stuff about me. So if it's something that I know and it's something that you know, we call this my public face, right? Everybody knows that about me. This is who I am. Everybody, when they see me, they know that I got jokes, right? That's who I am. They know that every now and again I'm going to say something, trying to get a laugh, and if you don't laugh, it's because your sense of humor is broke. Right? If I know it, but you don't know it, it's not something that everybody else knows about me. We call this my hidden face. This is the mask. A lot of folk wear masks in church, right? We show you who we want you to see, but there's a part of me that I'm not going to let you see. Here's where community is important in me drilling down into who God created me to be. Here in this quadrant, it's not known to me, but it's known to others. That's my blind spot. Y'all like how I can write backwards. You see it. You know this about me. Watch this. And this is why biblical community has to get better at doing what God called us to do. Because what I've come to understand is this is what people whisper about you. Gossip. This is the thing that when you leave the room, everybody says. Watch this. And if they don't know it, and I don't know it, this is the unknown space. These are those things that neither of us know publicly. The people don't know. I don't know. God will reveal, and maybe. What we ought to be trying to do, and the reason community has to be a big part of the help as I'm reading scripture and I'm looking back over my life and the clues that God has given me about who I am, I need some people who love God. Notice where I started. This ain't for the world, although this is where it came from. This ain't for the world in our context. This is disciples loving disciples to become disciples who make disciples. So I need to know you love Jesus. Otherwise, I'm going to watch this. If I don't think that you have the same relationship with him that I do, or at least trying to develop it, what do you think I'm going to do when you come and start talking to me about something in my blind spot? I'm probably going to dismiss it or dismiss you or both. Right? Why? Because Even though we talked several weeks ago about community being the best place to discover, be built up in, be healed in, and released in our personal calling, it's faith community. I gotta know you love him like I love him. And I'm gonna say this and just tell the truth and shame the devil. Folk in church be coming for church folk harder than folk in the world be coming for church folk. I don't know why, but it's what happens. So let's go to the takeaways. If you don't get nothing else, anything else out of this week, get this. Living out your personal calling is a journey that each of us must determine to take. First thing we talked about today, we've got to accept, embrace, and live out our general calling. Who I am and what you see in my uniqueness only flows from what I know God has created and is in me doing. I know and live out in my sweet spot because I am comfortable that God is in me no matter what you think about it. Two, understand that your personal calling is the overflow of living out of your or of living out your general calling. And the last one, the discovery of your personal calling is more journey than destination, and there are needed tools and helps available along the way. As always, I encourage you that if you pick up that Faith Life Bible app or just the Faith Life app and follow Harvest Christian Fellowship, all of these slides are right there in the app and available to you as a bulletin. Pray with me. And then we're going to move forward.